It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
On a beautiful summer Tuesday afternoon, welcome to Florham Park, New Jersey. It's New York Jets Disneyland. Evan and Tiki live from Jet Camp all day long. And this is the best way to start the show. Because we are joined by not just the best running back in the New York area, not just one of the best running backs in the NFL. He may not be aware of this. Tiki Barber's favorite player. Priest Hall, ladies and gentlemen. Priest, how are you?
I'm doing good, man. It's been good to, you know, have this offseason to, you know, just get better and not just get back to playing football. So right now, I'm in a great spot.
You know that you got me in trouble a week and a half ago.
What?
You don't even know why you got me in trouble A week and a half ago, Evan Roberts, who is a new season ticket holder for the New York Jets, bought me a present.
I did. I got him a present.
I was excited.
You know what that present was, Priest?
What?
It was a Breece Hall jersey.
Oh.
And you know what I did with that present?
What'd you do?
I put it on.
And you know what Evan did with that present that Tiki put on? Excuse me. I decided to take a picture of Tiki Barber.
Yes, sir.
In said jersey.
Yes, sir.
Frame it. And what I would love for you to do, Breece, is to sign this.
Oh, yeah.
And all you got to write is to Tiki from your favorite player, Breece Hall. Thank you very much, Priest.
Oh, no.
Oh, this is so beautiful.
Stop.
New York Giant legend, Tiki Barber.
This is a hard thing for Sean Morash, who's sitting over here, because he's a massive Giants fan. So that's like sacrilegious.
Priest, be honest. In 20 years, if you're working for WFAN and the star Giants running back at that time, you get that jersey. You putting it on?
Getting what jersey?
If you're getting a star... of the New York Giants jersey in 20 years, you're working in media. You putting on that Giants jersey?
I'm too prideful. I can't do it, man.
Thank you.
I can't do it.
That's my running back.
Yeah, respectable running back.
I can't do it.
Dude, if you weren't a great dude, I wouldn't have worn it. But you're a great dude.
I appreciate that.
So I appreciate this. Look, can we hang this in the studio next to A-Rod jersey?
That's actually the plan, T.
Nice. I love it.
Yes,
I love it.
That frame picture will now forever be on the WFAN studio.
It's all respect. You know, we talk all the time how the running back has lost importance in the NFL. Mm-hmm. I think it's nonsense. I think mediocre running backs have lost importance in the NFL. The guys that can't go to the house, the guys that can't also catch the ball out of the backfield, those guys maybe have lost importance. But guys like you, who can hit your head on the goalposts on any given play, are very valuable in the pass game. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what the position needs to evolve to.
Right.
And so in some ways, Christian McCaffrey before you and even Saquon last year and what you're doing, that's what the position needs to be going forward. Do you guys feel that? And that's how I think you're coached and taught. Even in college.
Yeah, definitely. I think it should be, but it's also hard to find, you know, guys like me, Christian, Bijan, Jahmyr Gibbs, like guys with a good stature who can play three downs and run the ball, catch the ball, be pounders and everything like that. It's rare to find that, because usually guys are so used to coaches putting them in one skill set and guys aren't doing everything their whole life. So it's a lot different for a lot of guys. So you see guys come to the league and they're stuck in being in one role, which, you know, it sucks. But, you know, if you show that in college, I think you should translate it to the NFL.
Yeah, I think one of the beauties of coming to a place like here with the Jets is that they needed you.
Right.
So you got opportunities early. And obviously the ACL notwithstanding, your time here has been spectacular. Did you expect it? Or did you expect to be this good this quickly on the NFL level?
Honestly, just because I feel like with our rookie class, like we were what, you know, the New York area, we were what they needed. And we brought like a little bit of life back. And then just bringing in Aaron and guys like that, you know, obviously after my injury and then us bringing in Aaron, that – gave me a big confidence boost, and it helped me just attack my recovery even harder. So coming back off of that and just having the anticipation of playing with him and then him getting hurt, I just felt like, okay, I just got to do a little bit more, even if I am coming back off an injury. So being able to have the season I did personally for me, just to be able to get back and still be the player I wanted to be, is good. But now I'm ready to tap into, you know, my full potential.
Was the injury ever on your mind, especially early last season?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Just dealing with soreness and discomfort, you know, throughout a game, because your knee, like, even though you're cleared to play, it doesn't mean that you're ready to just be grounding and pounding all the time. So I definitely had to go through a little bit of camp and work my way back into it. And still, once you get into a game, you know, in camp, nobody was allowed to hit me. So get into a game, it's like it's my first time having full contact. Like, nobody has to care about what they're doing to me. So I was kind of like, okay, we're just going to see how this goes. And luckily, it went really well for me. So it gave me a lot more confidence, too.
Yeah, we were getting upset because Coach Sala was saying, yeah, he's going to be on a pitch count or something of that matter. Like, yeah. Oh, hell no, he's clear. Let him go.
Yeah.
Did you ever feel worried, right, that you weren't going to be back to the same player that you were prior to the injury?
No, just because a lot of guys that I talked to about it, Saquon, Todd Gurley, even Christian, you know, guys like that told me, like, you know, it might not be what you want it to be, but it just takes time. Everybody's just saying it takes time, and, you know, I had to really see that. So throughout the season, I noticed myself getting better and better. It wasn't what I wanted to be, but I knew I was getting better. So by the end of the season, I was like, okay, I'm good.
When did you know it was back? Was it in Denver?
It's my confidence was getting more and more throughout every game. So Denver was like that was the game that spiked it, and then I'd say after about like game 12, I was like, okay, I'm good. Like, I ain't worried about it anymore.
Were you, because I know I felt this way just as a fan talking on the radio, I felt like you didn't get enough touches early this season, last season.
Yeah.
Did you kind of share that frustration that the ball just wasn't in your hands enough?
Yes and no. Obviously, after games, when you're losing and stuff, I was frustrated. But when I look at it from hindsight now, just knowing that they wanted to do what was best for me and not overload me too early and kind of work me into the rotation and everything. So now I'm happy that they kind of held me back a little bit, because – you know, I never know what could have happened. I could have been overloading myself and got hurt again or whatever the case may be. But they worked me back into, you know, being a number one back and getting all the carries and, you know, just having a bigger role. And once I was able to sustain that, they let me just roll. So I was very grateful that they did that with me.
How do you envision your workload looking like this year, assuming the quarterback stays healthy, football, God willing, you're out there healthy? How do you picture that playing out?
You know, I'm happy we drafted Braylon, just because now I have somebody else to lean on in Isaiah. We got a really good running back room with Izzy, Xavier, and Ballade, and all those guys. So I have more guys to lean on, and those guys have matured throughout this camp as well. So obviously I'm going to be the guy, and I'm going to play as long as I can. But just knowing that I have the confidence in those guys, that they know what they're doing, and they're coming along, and they're going to be able to come in and be just as good as I am, do everything that I'm doing, because that's what we're priding ourselves on. I'm priding Braylon on, okay, you can run the ball, you're powerful, but I want you to be able to catch the ball. Izzy, I want you to be able to stick your foot in the ground and go use your speed and everything like that. So those guys are growing every day.
Yeah, you talk about Braylon Allen, who's a rookie. He's 20 years old. We were talking about him before we got on air here. He's 230-something pounds. I mean, he looks the part of like the old school NFL running back. But it sounds to me like you've become a leader. You know, you're only in your third year, and you've become this teacher, this mentor. Right. And I think that's an important part of what this Jet success is going to be built upon. Do you agree?
Yeah, for sure. You know, we got a new running back coach that came from Tennessee, Tony Dews, and he was there with Derek for about 5 or 6 years. And the first thing he said to me was like, Breece, you're our leader whether you want to be or not. So, you know, you're just going to have to embrace it. And I've started to embrace it. So just taking it on myself, and Garrett has to, just to be those guys that if we're having a rough day at practice, all right, come on, y'all, let's go. We're gonna get us out of this funk. And, you know, Aaron told us his stuff. He's like, I can't do it every day. So some days you guys are going to have to be the ones. So myself, Garrett, Tyler Conklin, you know, we're the leaders of our room. So we're taking it upon ourselves to, you know, just be the same guys every day, be consistent every day.
We're talking to Breece Hall. We're live here from Jets camp. I don't know if it's the same as when you dealt with it, Tiki, but I remember you saying on the air that you were a little bothered when the Giants drafted another running back in Ron Dane.
I was motivated.
You were motivated, mad, whatever the word is.
Yeah.
When it first happened, like, okay, the Jets are drafting Braylon Allen. Mm-hmm. Was there a reaction of, the hell is this? We don't need another running back. Like, what was your initial reaction to it?
I was happy. You know, I feel like, you know, everybody needs some help, and Braylon's going to be a big help to this team. So I wasn't mad at it at all. And looking at that, you know, obviously I knew – you know, he was going to push me to be better because obviously every year somebody new is coming to take your spot and everything. So, like I said, I had to become a leader, and he pushed me. He's pushing me every day just like I'm pushing him. I'm trying to, you know, challenge everybody in our room, like who's going to have the best rep, who's going to have the best day. And, you know, I feel like this has been my best camp. I feel like yeah, it's going in my third year, but I feel like it's only really my second year playing. So, you know, I'm still learning just like those guys are as well. But, you know, just last season was able to help me, and now being with Aaron for a whole another year and a whole another offseason, having my whole offseason to get better, you know, it's just jump-started me. So I feel like I'm just in a great spot right now.
Yeah, do you feel like a vet? You know what I mean? It's what, you're only in your third year, and it's really your second year, as you mentioned, because you missed so much time with the ACL. But there's a certain point where you just – kind of understand it. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what it takes to have success individually. You mm-hmm. know what the team needs collectively to have success. Yeah. And the veterans are the one that have to lead. You guys are still a very young team. Yeah. I don't know where you guys are on the hierarchy, but you're still a very young team.
Right.
Do you feel like, I get it now. Like, I understand what it's going to take to be successful because of some of the ups, but also because of some of the downs.
In that aspect, yes, I do. But then I look at my age, and then compared to some of the other rookies, even this year, like half of our rookie class is older than me. So I'm like, okay, I'm not that old yet. I'm not, you know, I'm good. But as far as, like, knowing what it takes and seeing it and just talking to other guys about it, yeah, I feel like I do know now. And every day that's been my challenge, is be the same guy, prove that you're the best player out on the field. And me and Garrett challenge each other with that aspect of it every day. He makes a play. Okay, I want to make a play now. Like, let's just feed off of each other and see what we can do.
What's the weirdest thing Aaron Rodgers has said to you?
So, when he first got here, when I was doing my rehab, I wasn't able to practice or be with the team as much. So, he would always call me Bryce instead of Brees. So, that was probably – that used to, like – he low-key would make me mad. So, I would like, not purposely not talk to him or not acknowledge him. So, that was probably the thing that got to me the most.
But you had a Bryce, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Bryce.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you think he was doing it on purpose?
Yeah, he was definitely doing it on purpose just to nag me. And then the first day that I was able to, like, start doing walkthroughs and stuff for the team, he stopped. He was like, hey, everybody, give up. Brees is joining us back again. And he, like, emphasized my name and everything. So everybody started laughing. So, yeah, definitely that.
It's funny because we don't think about Aaron Rodgers in the way that I think his teammates think about him.
Right.
Like, we see this other image, and whatever people's opinions are, it is what it is. But it feels like he's intentionally obscure to the public.
Yeah.
Whereas with you all, it's like, man, this dude's the greatest guy in the world.
Right. Yeah. Just knowing how much he values his teammates and this brotherhood that we have, you know, you look, like you say, you get a whole different outlook on him. And just being around him and knowing how much he values us, as his relationship with us, and how knowing how high of a standard he holds himself to, he holds us to that same standard. So that just gets us to become more just closer with each other and expect more, uphold that standard of us wanting to be great together. And it's brought us closer together. So just knowing that he's like that, it also just ties us all into that. So that's like the standard now.
I'm sorry, Tiki, go ahead.
No, I was going to ask, you know, we talk about, you know, this team and the expectations. We know what the defense, where they were rated last year, and how well they played, and the offense scuffled a little bit, mostly because of the quarterback play. But Aaron is back, and the expectation is also back for offense and the team.
Right.
Are you feeling the pressure of that? Because it's also on you. You have to make plays. You can't have a 800-yard season this year. You got to do what you've been brought here to do. And the same thing with Garrett and the offensive line, which has been somewhat remade. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a little bit of pressure here for this team this season.
No, I don't say we feel it just because of us being young, and you may call it naive or whatever, but, you know, when I step out on the field, I think I'm that dude. Garrett thinks the same thing. And Aaron, he is that dude.
Right.
He's living it, walking
it.
So it's kind of just like, okay, let's just get out there and do this thing. You know, we feel like if we put our best foot forward, then we're going to be fine. We always preach is do your 111th. So if everybody's doing their 111th, we'll be fine. We're not really too worried about it.
Did you think, because I know we spent so much time talking about it on the radio last year, the idea that Aaron Rodgers is going to come back. He's going to come back. Did you guys in the room expect Aaron Rodgers to play for you guys last year after the injury?
Honestly, he told me he was, and I was like, wow, this is going to be – then next thing you know, you see him out there getting ready for practice and warming up and stuff, and I was like, wow, this is really going to be crazy. So it really just showed the dedication and how serious he was about, you know, being a part of this organization, and showed how much loyalty he had to us, because he could have just been like, okay, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. But he's like, no, I came here for a reason. I came here to – you know, not only do something, but just to bring another purpose to this organization that he has.
The other thing I'm curious about is I don't know if it's just we're in this world of following everything that happens. And during the offseason, you check out. You relax.
Right.
Were you aware about the rumors of Aaron Rodgers running for vice president? Was that like a thing you were aware of and thinking about?
I thought it was a joke. I didn't think it was like a serious thing. But I heard it, but I never thought, like, looked too much into it. I was like, oh, he's probably just joking around, just messing with everybody. But I didn't even know. I was like, oh, he actually was serious about that. Dude. That's crazy.
Can you imagine if he had done it?
No, like, I would have been like, wow, this is crazy.
Would you have been mad? Like, he's like, hey, guys, you know, thanks for everything. It's great getting to know y'all. I got to go fix the country. I know the Jets are important, but I got to fix the country instead.
No, because he would have been doing that while trying to play football. So it's like,
thank you.
All right. Like, yeah, so it's crazy.
That's what Evan thought.
That was my theory. My theory was if he does this, he's going to do both.
Yes.
He's going to run as Kennedy's running mate, and he's also going to be the quarterback.
Exactly.
What's the problem?
Exactly. So it's like the best of both worlds right there.
Do you like, and we're talking to Breece Hall, like, or does it kind of annoy you when people come up to you and talk about their fantasy team? Because you are, especially this year, like, you're a first-round pick.
Yeah.
Right, Sean? He's definitely a first-round pick.
Yeah.
And maybe top five in most drafts. Yeah. So you're always going to get that, hey, Breece, my fantasy team. Hey, Breece. Yeah. Do you like it, or is it kind of like, shut up,
Dick? Yeah, it's like, I don't really care. It's like, all right, whatever. It's cool. Good for you, bro. Like, you know, so it's like, I mean, I acknowledge it. I'm like, all right, I appreciate it. But, like, in the back of my mind, I'm like, bro, I don't care that much. It's not that big of a deal.
Right. You guys are heading down to Carolina, right? And then you have the Giants. Mm-hmm. And not too soon after that, you guys are going out to San Francisco. Mm-hmm. I know the preseason is important. I know developing camaraderie and getting everybody physically up to speed is what's most important. But how hard is it not to think ahead to that first game, because it's a challenging one on the road against the defending NFC champs. Like, where are you guys at as far as, man, this is, we got a tough start, but if we can clear that hurdle, mm-hmm. everything's in front of us.
Yeah, it is. Me personally, like, every now and then, like, when I have some free time after I've watched film on, you know, the practice, the walkthrough, and whoever we're going against in joint practice that week, like, I'll go peep some of their games. But for me, it's like, I'm still a fan of McCaffrey, so I'll catch myself watching more of the offense and the defense and stuff right now. So just growing up watching him since I was in middle school, high school, like, I'm supposed to be watching the defense, but I catch myself just watching him, seeing what he's doing, how he does stuff. And then I'll be like, okay, Breece, you got to go watch the defense and see what they're doing versus these teams and stuff. So I definitely catch myself
watching it a little bit. You say that, because I used to do that with Emmitt. When Emmitt Smith, and I was a then Redskins, but now Commander, I was a Washington fan. And so I hated the Cowboys, but I loved Emmitt.
Right.
And the thing, I would pick things up. Like, the upfield arm was trying to tackle him. He'd just subtly just push it down, right? And then he could run through the tackle. Like, what do you pick up from watching, you know, some of these other guys that do it well? Saquon, Christian McCaffrey, you talked about, even Bijan, mm-hmm. who's, you know, basically in that positionless offense that they had down there in Atlanta.
Yeah, watching McCaffrey, just seeing, like, he does everything right all the time. So, and just hearing guys talk about him, he's like, everybody says he's like a robot just from his routine before practice, pre-practice, and after practice on how he does his recovery and stuff. And then in the game, you know, just watching, you know, you could tell he really watches film a lot and is really dialed in, because he always, just with him being in the pass game, he always makes the right decision. He's never putting the quarterback in the cloudy spot and everything, and he has no wasted move and always running really efficient. So I pick up on stuff like that.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, because we were talking also about Aaron and how he's teaching, mm-hmm. like always,
right.
in the middle of practice, in the middle of a play,
right.
he's teaching to help you guys. And you mm-hmm. go and watch some film with him at times. What do you pick up from watching one of the greatest to ever do it?
So it'll be a day, like, say the defense gets us with a blitz, he'll run into the running back room and be like, hey, you guys busy? And we'll be like, no. He'll be like, okay, this is what they did today. This is why I want to do this, and maybe it's easier to get us out, or maybe it's like, okay, we'll let the line take him and you'll take the little coming. Just like little stuff like that I pick up on from Aaron. Or it'll be pre-snap and he'll be like, hey, Breece, we got this concept over here. I want you to run this. And so it's like, Every play is like something different. You never know. You got to always be locked into him and what he's doing, because he'll give you a signal and change a play real fast or change a protection real fast at the end of the shot clock before he snaps the ball. So with him, it's like always something. You always want to be dialed in.
Is that hard? Because you have to be aware.
Yeah.
You can't sit up there, I heard the play, I know what I'm supposed to do. As soon as the ball is snapped, I'm gone.
Right.
It's like, things could happen, like, before anything actually
occurs. And at first it was hard, but now, like, I'm so comfortable, and I kind of sometimes know what he's going to do before he does it. So it's just like, oh, it's just like, okay, it's normal now. So as a rookie, yeah, it was definitely, and coming off my injury, just not being with him for the whole offseason, yeah, it was hard. But now it's kind of just like, all right, let's go. Like, what you got? Mm.
We're talking to Breece Hall. I've always heard that players say they take it one game at a time. They don't know the schedule. So I do want to play a game with you. Obviously, week one is against the Niners.
Yeah.
Do you know who you guys are playing week two?
No idea.
Really?
No idea.
Wow, so it's true.
No idea.
What if I told you it's in Dallas against the Cowboys? Would you say, wow, I didn't know that? Or would you say, oh, yeah, I kind of remember that?
No, I have no idea.
It's not the Dallas Cowboys.
No, just put anybody out there who you want to play, let's play.
All right. Yeah. Well, just so you know, it's the Titans, just so you know.
Yeah.
And then week three is at home against the Patriots on a Thursday night. Let me make this very, very clear. You already know this, and you did a great job in that last game against the Patriots. Beat their asses. I don't care if it's 45-3. You tell Solin Hackett, give me the ball. We're putting up a 50-burger.
I'll tell him that in practice so you know it's coming in the game.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Breece. We appreciate it.
No
Thank you for being Tiki Barber's favorite player.
Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Breece. The great Breece Hall, the New York Jets. We got a lot to do. We are from Jet Camp. We'll get into the Hassan Reddick situation. Plus, was last night's New York Yankee game, quote, the most embarrassing loss of my lifetime? We'll get to the bottom of it. Live from Jet Camp, Evan and Tiki on The Fan and SNY. Welcome to the Atlantic Health Training Center here in Florham Park, New Jersey. It is Jets Day. You may have heard Boomer and Gio earlier this morning. They were out here. We're out here on this beautiful afternoon. We will talk to plenty of Jets as the show rolls on throughout the program. We will talk to you as the show rolls on as well. The toll-free number is 888-808-1019. Is that the correct number?
Is correct.
Okay.
You nailed it.
I still don't really have it memorized, I have to be honest.
I mean, God.
It's a credit, actually, to Hurley, our new boss, in that he put the number up all over the studio. So my reaction is to always look at the number, because it's listed there, and just read it.
But normal people look at something like that, and it's memorization, Evan.
I want to tell you a secret. And Tiki, I want you to be honest with me, Sean, as well, if this is your case. So yesterday, I had to take my young puppy, Dudley, to the vet. He's not a puppy. He's 12, but I call him a puppy.
Yes, they're always pups.
They needed to do a medical check on him, and they needed to call us with a medical update. I knew I was going to be on the air with you guys, so I said, hey, call my wife. And they said, what's her number? And I looked at my 8-year-old and said, do you know Mama's number? I got no idea. We've been together for 10 years because it's in my phone.
Have you always... She always had the same number.
Always had the same number.
So did you ever have to learn it once?
Yeah, when I met her for the first time and she gave me her digits and I put it in my phone. And then after that, but honestly, do you know Tracy's number?
Of course.
Really?
Yes.
Without hesitation?
Without hesitation.
Do you know your wife's number, Sean?
631.
Hey.
You're right.
Calm down over there.
Do you remember your parents' number when you were a kid?
Yeah, but I had to because you didn't put it in a cell phone.
Right.
That's different,
but it was important for you, so you remember it.
No, don't do that because you're going to get me in trouble with the missus. It's not that it's not important. It's that it's not necessary because it's in my phone.
Don't you ever have to, like, input a number? Like, when you go to the vet, don't you have to input a number? It's like your wife's number or whoever the account holder's number it is into the system.
I never do my wife's number. And thank
well, that's the difference because Tracy's is on everything.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So, like,
you don't
smart,
have Target perks, right?
Right. Target at CVS. Yeah, put your number in. Just all right, 347. Blah 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 blah.
You guys are making me feel bad, but I really believe that most people do not know their significant other's phone number
because
they don't need to because it's already in their phone. Like, I'm not saying anything that's that ridiculous, but my 8-year-old Jet bailed me out because when I looked at him and said, "Do you know Mama's number?" He knew the number.
Did he really?
Yes.
Good job by him.
Because he knows in case of emergency.
Right.
Doesn't have a phone.
And he doesn't have a phone. So it worked out. I don't remember the reason I brought this up to you, but I'm glad that we had that conversation.
Because you couldn't get the FAN number right, which is 888-808-1019.
Hey, he doesn't even know. All right, let me get, because I think this is very important, to talk to a former superstar NFL player named Tiki Barber. You guys may be familiar with him, concerning this situation with Hassan Reddick.
Yeah.
So this story broke yesterday while we were on the air. I'm obviously, as a Jet fan, bothered that it's come to this, where he's demanding a trade. But my initial reaction, and luckily Joe Douglas backed me up within a half hour, was, I'm not trading you.
Right.
Now, your opinion on what should happen next, now that Hassan Reddick has informed the Jets, I want to be traded.
Well, I don't know if it's Hassan Reddick informing the Jets. It's his agent and his dad, it seems like, is heavily involved in all of this conversation. Because that's what I keep seeing. It's very rarely Hassan Reddick says it's someone coming from his camp, whether it's the agent or, in a lot of cases, it's his dad saying, I want him to be one of the highest paid guys. Now, ultimately, the Jets did exactly what they should have and the right thing to do. You have a contract. This is not like the situation with what was the running back from
Le'Veon Bell,
who was kind of a free agent because of the franchise tag thing. Mm-hmm. And so,
from the mind of a 2 foot tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition. You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
If Hassan Reddick doesn't show up next year, he's back, and it's the same contract.
Right, so he doesn't really have that much leverage.
Right, he has no leverage at all. And so the Jets did the right thing by saying, you are under contract to us because we traded for your rights. You were excited about it at the first press conference, as we all remember, and you need to be here. Now, in time, if we get to know you and we get to understand your situation and you contribute to this team and you help build this thing into a winner, we'll pay you.
Right.
But they don't know him, right? He hasn't been here.
He hasn't really been a Jet yet.
Exactly. He was put the jersey on for the press conference, and other than that, he has not been around. And so I know that at times we want to be sympathetic to the athlete, especially the really good athlete who's not paid anywhere commensurate to where he should be. Hassan Reddick should be one of the top paid edge rushers in the NFL. We all know that. But he hasn't earned that for the Jets yet.
Right.
And he doesn't have the leverage to demand it from the Jets yet. And so ultimately he's going to be here minus the number of fines that are thrown on him for missing a lot of, if not entirety of, training camp. The other thing that you have to remember, and this is why ultimately he's going to be here. Once you miss games, you miss game checks.
Mm.
And for a guy who makes as much as he does, when you miss a game check, it's money that you're not making back.
Right.
Right, whatever that number is, $4 or $5 million, you are not getting it back. It's not getting recouped. Oh, I'm glad you came back. We'll pay you all that money that we fined you. It's not happening. And so, for just bank account reasons, he's got to come back at some point. And he'll be great. And you know what? He's a football player. He'll understand. The players will understand the gripe. It is what it is, and hopefully he just puts it past them.
Well, that's why the idea that the Jets should acquiesce and trade him is ridiculous.
No, absolutely not.
It's insane. Like, for what reason? Just because the player said, I want to be traded?
Yeah.
Now, what I've gone down the rabbit hole of doing, and Sean and I discussed this a little bit yesterday, was what happened. Like, really trying to figure out what happened. And there have been reporters that have put out the Jets side of the story, which is, hey, we don't know what happened. There was an understanding. We weren't going to give him a big contract, and something changed. And then there's the Hassan Reddick side of things, that he was lowballed. Now, I give Diana Russini a lot of credit, because she put out a tweet earlier this morning that really laid out both sides. And I'll read it real quick in terms of, here's what we know about the situation. The Jets traded for Reddick knowing he wanted a contract adjustment. All teams interested in trading with the Eagles were told he wanted a new deal. The Jets made a below-market offer before the trade. Reddick turned it down. The Jets moved forward with the trade without a contract extension in place. The Jets never made a new offer on a long-term extension because they say they were informed by Reddick's rep that he would play under his current contract. That is not the player's side. Reddick's camp believes the Jets said they would do a deal and trusted this would get done by camp. A few weeks ago, the Jets called and said they would be willing to rework the current deal if he showed up.
from the player's side, that's what they did. That's not what they agreed to before the trade, so he didn't show. So that's kind of both sides of it.
Yeah.
So I've been battling to figure out, okay, what really happened? And I want to play you something, because I do think this matters. Tell me if I'm wrong. I went back and listened to Hassan Reddick's one conversation with us, and that was at his press conference.
Right.
When he talked to the local media, and he talked to us as fans. It's about a 15-minute press conference. I listened to the entire thing. There was one question about his contract. One.
Yeah, but that's it. The question is how many of the media that were there knew that this trade was dependent. We know now, obviously, because
we knew he wanted a contract. From
I just
Philly,
that,
though,
but we didn't. I don't think I understood at the time that it was dependent upon a new deal getting done. Right, we're kind of feeling this with Brandon Ayuk right now.
Right.
Getting traded or potentially getting traded from the San Francisco 49ers to the Pittsburgh Steelers, and there's a contract in order, even though the San Francisco 49ers have a contract on the table for him. And so it's convoluted, and we know what the issue is. He wants a new contract, and wherever he goes, he's going to get a new contract. I didn't feel like that was the case with Hassan Reddick in real time.
Yeah.
I now know it's the case, but in real time, I wonder how many of the reporters that were at his introductory press conference were aware that this was critical to him being here.
Here's what I would say. I don't think, because I don't want to be the ultimate Monday morning quarterback on this, and we'll talk to one of the Jet reporters coming up at 3 o'clock, the great Brian Costello.
Yeah.
I don't think the entire press conference needed to be about the contract because we thought this would happen, which is hold out OTAs, hold out mini camps, hold out training camp, demand a trade. Like, I'm not saying we thought all of that would happen, but we did know that he wasn't happy with the fact that the Eagles weren't giving him a contract extension, and they essentially replaced him by signing Bryce Huff.
Yeah, so much less than what he'll make.
Right, so you knew the contract was a factor. So should there have been more than one question about the contract? Probably.
Yeah.
Here's the answer that Reddick gave when the question was asked, hey, Hassan, are you expecting a brand new contract now that you're a member of the New York Jets?
All options are open right now. Currently just worried about being here, meeting everybody that's in the building today. Contractual stuff, I'm leaving that up to my agent and Joe to figure out. But whatever happens, I'm going to be happy for it. I'm going to give my all no matter what. That's just who I am as a person. So no matter how it goes, how many years, I'm going to be here for however long I'm here for, and I'm going to give the team, the fans, everything that I have.
Does that sound like a guy that was going to hold out to you?
No, not at all.
Who got to him?
I don't know. It sounds like a guy who says, I understand that there's some difference of opinion on what I'm worth right now. Mainly, the Jets haven't seen me play, hasn't been a part of this organization, so they don't know what to pay me. I haven't taken a snap, so I'm going to take every snap I can and work my butt off for this Jets team. It didn't sound like if I don't get a contract, I'm not showing up. It didn't sound like the Eagles wouldn't sign me, so I'm glad they traded me because the Jets are going to pay me. None of that sounded like. So I understand why there wasn't a follow-up, because he was pretty comprehensive in that answer.
Well, that's why listening to that answer and listening to his entire press conference, in which I thought he came across great, that to me leads me to believe the New York Jets are right, and Reddick is the one that flipped. And so if you want to kill Douglas and say, well, don't be naive, you can't take that risk, you're trading for a guy with 1 year left on his deal, you never know, he may hold out. Sure, I guess that can be a criticism. But based on that press conference, that sounds like a guy that gave you zero indication that the contract was going to lead to this.
I agree with you. And so the Jets are in the right here, and Hassan Reddick at some point, after he stops listening to whoever is influencing him, his dad, his uncle, his brother, his cousin, I don't know who it is, he's got to show up. Right? You can't not play. I think the Le'Veon Bell situation showed from a player's perspective, forget the money, forget whatever happened forward, that from a player's perspective, you can't skip years in your career.
Right.
You just can't, because you don't know when you're walking off the cliff and you don't have it anymore. And that's what happened with Le'Veon, right? He had that 1 year he sat out, he comes to the Jets, and all of a sudden it's like, dude, what happened to you?
Right.
You're not the same player anymore.
But
I'm not saying that's going to happen to Hassan Reddick, but it is very dangerous to let somebody else or younger players come in and be better than you.
You can skip games, though. Chris Jones did an opening night last year.
Well, no, hold on. We'll get to that in a second. I want you to answer
for that?
That clip and what I just said. I think that proves, if anything, I'm not one to just defend the Jets. Trust me. I'll take my shots at Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh when necessary. I like to be fair, even with the teams I love. And I'm trying to be fair that listening to that Reddick press conference, that sounds like a camp that changed its tune completely.
I think you're over-exaggerating a little bit.
Why?
Did you hear the clip? To me, yes, I did. To me, that sounds like a guy who knows he's up for a contract that is going to appear at this press conference and say all the right things. Why would you come up on your if you think that eventually I'm confident in my skills and I'm confident that an organization that just traded for me has the intention to figure out the contract of my demands that want, I am, of course, going to say the right things. Why wouldn't you?
Why?
Hold on. Evan, if it was no secret what was going on in Philadelphia with him, okay, and that the Eagles knew this was going to be a problem, the contract was going to trade off. So if you're Hassan Reddick and his agent, and a team trades for you, knowing that circumstance and that situation, you were in the back of your head, got to think, this GM and my agent have to be in some kind of universe where I'm expecting ultimately come August that this wasn't going to be a problem. So I might as well say all the right things now at the press conference.
The only fault you'll throw on Joe Douglas here is that he knew that he needed to get a contract done, and he lowballed them.
Yeah.
And they said no, but then the Eagles traded him anyways. Mm-hmm. So the Eagles were just trying to, like, we want to be done.
Right.
We need to wash our hands of this problem, potential problem. Joe, we're dumping this onto you. So Joe Douglas can't say, oh, I didn't know he didn't want a contract. Maybe Robert Saleh wasn't aware of how important that contract was. But Joe Douglas can't say, I didn't realize he wanted a contract.
No, I think
they knew he wanted a contract. It's just a matter of him showing good faith by being here. And now that sounds very little. It sounds minute. It sounds unimportant because of what we consider an trustworthy league, and there's no loyalty in this game, et cetera, et cetera. But tell me you didn't feel, when you're around this team, when you're around some of the veterans on this team, when you listen to Woody, well, you guys didn't talk to Woody, but I talked to Woody before.
Talked to Woody.
I talked to, some of the players and some of the veterans. It feels like this organization is different than it's been. It's not the LOL Jets. At least you're trying not to be those LOL Jets. And character matters. And I feel that. Like when you – just talking to Brees, like character matters. The type of person that they bring in matters. Aaron Rodgers, who we have this like quirky view of him because of – he's quirky, at least publicly facing. Like his character in the locker room is second to none apparently. And so – I think that matters, and I think that's where this organization is trying to build itself to. The Giants have been that way for decades, and the Jets want to be one of the best in class in football. And so in their minds, they're saying, show us good faith, man. Show up, and we'll take care of you. Become one of us. Become part of us, and we'll take care of you. And he didn't even he ain't stepped in the door yet.
Right, but so, I think the reason they did it is because they thought he would step through the door.
I agree. And so this is why I'm saying Joe Douglas was aware that this was being dumped on him. But he also was having, maybe misguided, faith that Hassan Reddick would do the right thing and be here.
I agree. And I think that misguided faith that he had, and it obviously turned out to be misguided, he's not showing up to camp, was based on what was probably said to him. Because what Reddick said at that press conference sounds like a guy who probably, through his agent and himself, said, look, obviously we want a contract, but I'm going to show up. Yeah. He basically said it in the press conference.
You're going to say the right things if you're
looking for a contract.
You
don't have to say the right things.
You don't have to.
Bro, he just got traded to the Jets. He had every right to say, hey, I'm excited to be here, but guess what? I'd like a contract.
And by the way,
I said it to Howie. I'm saying it to Joe.
And you know why he can say that, Evan? Because if you – like, it would have been a bad feel, maybe, about from his introductory press conference. If he's like, look, I need to get paid, and otherwise, whatever.
Right.
But if he comes here – any balls after he's paid or after it's all settled, who cares?
Right.
Like, nobody's going to remember that. If he comes out and he's all pro and he helps his team, win the AFC or get to the AFC championship or whatever the level of success you want to define as successful is, and he balls and he's worth it, nobody's going to care that on his introductory press conference he said, I'm here because I want to get paid. The
Eagles
wouldn't pay me. I want the Jets to pay me. and then we'll go from there.
That's why I'm believing.
So it's almost like he was lying to us to make us feel good.
Or,
and when that happens, you get pissed off.
Yes.
Right? You just get annoyed. It's almost like, just tell me what you really feel.
Or someone got to him to change his tune. And his agent gave new advice, which is, hey, they're not negotiating in good faith. Let's try this. Now, ultimately, this plan, it's going to fail. Like, the Jets are not giving in. They're not trading him. I doubt they're giving him a long-term contract. So, ultimately, what do you get out of this other than a little bit more vacation time away from coming to training camp? And look, here's my new concern. Because I went to sleep last night. I watched the Yankees embarrass themselves. I watched everything go against the Mets' way last night. Thank you, San Francisco Giants, limp offense. And I started thinking about this situation. And I said, all right. How is this going to play out? Am I really annoyed by it as a Jet fan, as a season ticket holder? And ultimately, the only negative that I see, there's two negatives. Number one is the superficial. This gives red meat to LOL Jets. It does. It gives red meat to Sean Morash. It gives red meat to ESPN, who like to make fun of the Jets. It gives all the haters and the losers out there their LOL red meat. Okay, fine. End of the day, doesn't matter. The other negative, which is real, is the longer he waits to come back, the more likely it is he's either going to get hurt or maybe not be effective right away. And every game matters. So if he's missing, like you said, Sean, Chris Jones missed games, that sucks if he's not out there.
Right.
It sucks if he gets hurt. When Darrell held out, Darrell Revis, in 2010, and then he came back, he missed a couple of games early. I think it was a hamstring issue. You can fact check me. That's a negative. But ultimately, he's going to play for the Jets.
Yeah.
They're not trading him back to the Eagles, Spike Eskin, you dummy. They're not trading him to the Vegas Raiders. They're not trading him anywhere. He's going to be a Jet. And yes, this will be a distraction to the media. Yes, red meat Sean Morash gets to say LOL Jets. But ultimately, he's going to play football and hopefully help this team win.
Yeah, you say it's a distraction to the media. But I don't think it's a distraction to the team. Because he's not here.
Right.
Like, you. What, you
it's only a distraction.
You can't miss. You can't miss something you don't have.
No, I agree.
Right? Hey, Sean, I'm going to give you $1 million, man.
I don't have it.
And so I told you I'm giving it to you, but I never gave it to you, so you're never going to miss it.
I'm never going to miss it.
Right. That's exactly what this is.
The problem is Tiki Evans giving off serious, similar. I'm having deja vu vibes.
To what?
Everything you just said about Hassan Reddick, I distinctly remember you saying about Mikal Bridges getting traded to the Knicks. Almost word for word. It's never going to happen. Let's stop the nonsense. But more importantly, Evan, Hassan Reddick, do you think he misses any games starting the regular season?
That's the better question, okay? There are different layers to this. Do I think he plays for the Jets this year? Yes, I do. He's not getting traded. That's my opinion. If I'm wrong like Mikal Bridges, hopefully I don't find out in the middle of a Met game.
You know who's not going to miss any games this regular season?
Go ahead.
Evan Roberts. And Evan, I am here to present to you.
What is he presenting to me?
Evan Roberts' season tickets are in my possession, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, wow!
The Jets have allowed me to hand Evan Roberts paper tickets.
Paper tickets?
To every single game. Now, there is a caveat.
What's the caveat?
I talked to some ticket reps, and they told me you've already posted a couple of these games online.
I did. I posted the games I can't go to.
They've already removed them online.
I was about to say I saw them get removed.
They got removed by the Jets because to print them, you need to have them. You can repost them when you want.
I posted the Bronco game on the second home game.
Feel them, baby.
Season.
You're a Jets season ticket holder.
Look at this. What's so special is that as a season ticket holder to many teams now, you never get this, Deke.
Right.
You never get to hold them up like I'm holding them up like the $1 million
Look
man.
Look at that.
Money. That smells good.
That's actually some real money in your hand right now.
It's real money. And it's got the price for each game.
I saw the price, by the way. They better win more than 7 games.
Wow. Thank you, Sean, and thank you to the New York Jets. As a paying customer, I feel very, very special about that. Let me answer your question, though. Will Hassan Reddick miss games this season? If I had to guess, I'm going to say he's back for week one. I do.
I would agree with that.
I would say he's barely on the field. Like, it's one of those.
Yeah, he's going to be a situational player.
Yeah, like, it's real situational. I can't say it's going to be a lot of snaps, but I think he will be there Monday night because ultimately, let's use our noodle. And look, sometimes when you use your noodle, it doesn't work out well, like Mikal Bridges being traded to the Knicks. My noodle is telling me this guy and his agent There's no way they're going to hold out games. Like, think about the fines he's accumulating right now. It's $50,000 a day.
That's a lot. I don't care how much money you're making. $50,000 is a lot.
You mentioned the game. Oh, by the way, I have a very important question. And we're going to get more on this with Brian Costello, who covers the Jets. He also caused a flurry on social media over the weekend, which caused Jet fans to hate his guts because he had an idea about the preseason. We'll get to that. So we'll get some news information from the great Brian Costello coming up in a few minutes and a lot of various Jets throughout the show. My question for you, Teak, is when you get fined, not that you've held out, do you have to pay the fine immediately? Or is there like a window of time? Like when I get a speeding ticket,
yeah,
they give me 30 days.
I think you can appeal generally fines, but ultimately, you're going to end up having to pay it.
But when, though? That's very important.
I don't know the answer to that. I would assume that preseason fines like this are just removed from your compensation.
Oh, that's how they do it.
So.
Sneaky bastards. That's like if Odyssey fined me for something I said on the air. They're like, Evan, we're fining you $500. They wouldn't send me a bill. They would just take it out of my paycheck. Then I can't even, like...
That's cold.
It is cold. The positive is you get to avoid late fees. Because I can't tell you how many times I've gotten a parking ticket and I've sent in the bill way too late. We'll get to your calls as the show rolls on. 888-808-1019. Also, we'll try to figure out if last night's New York Yankee loss was, quote, the most embarrassing loss of one's lifetime. We'll talk to the great Jet beat reporter Brian Costello coming up. And we're going to do it all live from Florham Park, New Jersey. It's a wonderful day at Jet Camp as we hang out with you all afternoon long, right here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.